This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon to you, Nick.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
It's been a crazy week, really, hasn't it? For the obvious reasons, but it seems to be getting even crazier. The US stock market today has lost, the Nasdaq's lost about 4% last time I looked. This hours after China announced it's going to enforce retaliatory 34% tariffs on US imports from April the 10th. The Nasdaq's been battered, but so have stocks right across the world. Is there an end to this? Where are we going?
Yeah, Johnny, it's a crazy week, as you mentioned. Just every angle of this tariff thing, headlines are covering and obsessing over every single move. This morning, as you mentioned, China put into a place retaliatory tariffs. And in response, Trump tweeted, or I guess on his Truth Social, he made a post just saying that he thinks that they made the wrong move. And it's scary out there. I mean, it's we have not seen, I was saying this just before we hit record on the podcast, we've not seen the price action that we're seeing in markets to be this volatile since the August of last year, carry trade unwind fears. But that was very short-lived. But before that, really, go back to 2020, the COVID pandemic outbreak. It was this huge shock to the system. And that's a word or a phrase you've been using on the podcast here quite a bit, right? Shock to the system. This certainly is a shock to the system because there's just this massive uncertainty about, okay, well, clearly China took the opportunity to respond basically aggressively, right? There was, and of course, of the list of tariffed places or places that were dealing with this new kind of announcement, China was going to be the one, of course, to be kind of the more aggressive respondent. These two countries, China, US, they're pretty much rivals. But now the question becomes, again, how are the other countries? Are they going to follow suit with China? You know, we've heard rumors about Japan, South Korea, these other places maybe banding together with China, which is a very concerning concept because, of course, these are U.S. allies. And so if we start to see U.S. allies join in on the pushback, things could get really uncertain really quick. And I mean, they already are, but the only certainty in this market right now seems to be the lack of certainty. Right now, we are waiting constantly for the next headline. As you mentioned, you've got some crazy down moves across the board. You've got down 4% for the S&P 500, 4.3% for the NASDAQ. The Dow Jones is down 3.4%. The Russell's down almost 6% today. The German DAX at one point was down 5%. The Nikkei down 4%. These are crazy moves. You have 37% up move on the VIX today. And the dollar, we've got to talk about the dollar bouncing back on this and potentially shifting into its long-term role as a safe haven in terms of a recession. We've seen the dollar getting crushed here recently. But if the new paradigm to think about, Johnny, is a global recession, the SMILE concept, which I encourage listeners to look up if you haven't, about the US dollar, the SMILE concept is basically saying when you get serious all-out global recession, the dollar again regains its crown as kind of the global reserve backup currency. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of a sharp bounce back in the dollar, up 0.6%. But again, that's a modest bounce in comparison to the recent sell-off, the recent carnage in the currency world. We do see the euro and the pound really sinking here today against that US dollar strength that is coming in. We see yields down massively. Again, Johnny, I don't know if we've talked about this since then, but I looked at the expected interest rate changes. They're now, the bond market's now pricing in 4 rate cuts this year. So we've got serious yield Armageddon, if you will. At least that's what it looks like. And you ask, you know, where does this end? I think the market's freaking out so much because that's so unclear, right? We had hopes, we could have held out yesterday, today, that the response from these, from China, et cetera, would be like, well, let's discuss this, or, you know, negotiation call set up between President Xi and President Trump. But instead, we got, again, response tariffs basically matching and potentially escalating the situation. So, yeah, the answer of where does this end is very difficult to call. And I think that's where you're seeing investors just say, okay, enough's enough. Sell now, ask questions later.
And President Trump wanted interest rates to come down. Looks like he might get his wish after all with those possible 4 cuts. obviously, the market is thinking about those additional cuts because of fears of recession. He's doubled down, hasn't he, on this trade war. He says his policies will never change. Having said that, if those in the United States and the rest of the world, even those who've never bought stocks and shares directly, they may have a pension that invests in them. We've got workplace pension schemes, whether they're public or private sector. Of course, they hold a lot of money in the stock markets. And at what point are Republican senators going to be under more pressure to try and put pressure on the president and the administration if they've got thousands of people saying, we're losing money? It's a tough one to call, isn't it, really? I mean, obviously, interest rates coming down would be fascinating, bearing in mind we might have interest rates coming down and inflation going up.
Right. And what you've alluded to there with the yields is, I guess, critics of the Trump administration would kind of point to say, well, yes, you're getting rates to come down, but for the wrong reasons, right? The recessionary reasons. You want, you know, the ideal situation is interest rate yields come down because inflation's relaxing. You don't really want to, you know, it's kind of like, I've said this in the past, it's kind of like losing a dramatic amount of weight because you are sick, right? That's not healthy weight loss. That's dangerous, right? So that's kind of the concept with yields, is you have some concerning things here happening with the drop in interest rate yields, but perhaps not because inflation concerns are really going down, but perhaps because, again, global recession. We can back that theory, Johnny, simply by taking a look at commodities today. Look at copper, down 7.6% on the day. Take a look at oil. Oil prices moved 8.6% to the downside today for U.S. oil. That's dramatic. So you might say, well, Trump is getting some of his things that he wanted, low oil prices, lower interest rates. But again, like I said, those things could be definitely perceived as positive if they stay there and the economy stays okay. But if the economy rolls over, these things, I would say, only introduce new problems. And when the recession, you know, if a recession begins, problems, it's like whack-a-mole, right? New problems are popping up everywhere. Something's breaking over here and it causes another breakage issue. And as you mentioned, pension funds and people, you know, you asked also about just the Republican administration. How do they respond to this? Well, I do think that there's going to be, you know, some pushback here because fair trade negotiation requests and demands and desires are not necessarily nearly as controversial as a no, you know, negotiation, outright sweeping tariffs. There's kind of a difference there, right? In the theory of, okay, let's renegotiate trade versus if you don't bend to, you know, what the Trump administration wants, then we're just going to have an all-out trade war, right? There's kind of a difference there for sure.
And of course, it's the first Friday of the month, which means it's U.S. non-farm payroll day. And on any normal first Friday of the month, when you'd get the latest figures as they are, that would have taken the main headline. That's a side issue today. Non-farm payrolls have increased by 228,000 in March, and that is versus 135,000 forecast. If this had been a normal Friday, a normal week, it would have been quite something, wouldn't it? And we would have seen maybe more pushback on interest rate rises. The dollar would have been up. It has recovered today. Maybe that's one of the reasons for it. But this U.S. jobs number is actually taking a bit of a backstep.
Yeah, it's certainly taking you know, kind of backseat to the focus here today, the Chinese retaliatory tariffs and all that. But to your point, you know, 228,000 jobs. This was a pretty key NFP report, simply because we've seen the effects of tariffs. Like, we've been in this, right, for a couple weeks now. So the question was whether or not this impacted the March numbers, and it doesn't seem to, at least so far, be doing that. But again, now the market's kind of so focused on, oh, well, these new data points might cause major crashes in employment data as well. So, yeah, I mean, 4.2% unemployment rate, that's still a very tight labor market for now, right? That's the now question. That's why I think this got swept behind so quickly, or swept under the carpet so quickly today, because it's so much more change. I mean, look at the VIX, right? The VIX is changing or showing so much volatility is in this market, which gives you like a, okay, well, that's yesterday's news. This market's moving so fast. It's so focused on the next headline that NFP for last month,
is almost like somehow so quickly kind of put to the side. I would say overall, it was a mixed jobs report. Unemployment rate did tick up a little bit. Jobs growth was strong, but they revised the previous number down by a good bit. So we lost some jobs on the February report, added some better than expected jobs by a pretty good margin in March. Wage growth was steady. Employment rate, like I said, ticked up slightly. So overall, a decent jobs report, not too bad, not too great, and definitely not to enough of a, you know, strength point to point towards, you know, massive bounce back today. But we do see some relative dollar strength. As I mentioned, I think that's kind of dual part, you know, jobs data maybe didn't crash as much as people were fearful of. And at the same time, that status of are we going into a global recession does potentially strengthen the dollar's case again. You have to think about this, Johnny. Like if we are going to actually see a global recession, I think the story broadened out today. The DAX is down 5.4%. The Nikkei is down 4.6%. This is not U.S. is going to take the hit by itself. Now the U.S. is on a proportional basis still getting hit, you know, really, really hard by this. But it's all inclusive. Look at, you know, stock markets around the world taking serious nosedives just about the, you know, deglobalization concerns, right? If all of this stuff is changing, if we're going to see trade really drastically change globally, what does that mean for countries that rely heavily on exports? You know, it's not great. So very, very challenging times for sure.
It's almost as if the whole economic system is being challenged. And as we've said, these falls, the like of which we haven't seen since the COVID crisis. I asked you if you had any idea when this is going to stop. It might be that there are some out there who decide to now possibly buy low. It depends who believes this is the bottom of the market. We might have some way to go.
My personal opinion, not financial advice, because of course this is very volatile times, is that I think that if you are looking at this market and you are trying to be opportunistic and bullish on something out there, I would just urge caution first and foremost. But second of all, I think that you probably have to have a very long-term mindset with that, because again, we don't know where this stuff is going to go tomorrow, the next hour, the next week. If you are looking at the market from the lens of these are great companies that I think will find ways to resiliently bounce back over the long term, it's a very different story, right? If we're talking about shorter term market expectations, interest rate cuts drastically rising because of global trade getting derailed here, it's a tough time to try and really call a bottom on this. When we're looking at, you know, long term, like you've pointed out, these are typically decent times on a historical basis only. That past performance, not future results, all that good, you know, disclaimer stuff. Historically, these types of sell-offs are longer term opportunities, but it does not mean that short term there's going to be any sort of resolve here. Like I said, when we look at the currency world, I mean, you've got the VIX up 47.5%. The dollar index is up 0.7% today. Nice bounce back for the dollar, given all the chaos. But really, one of the big winners in all of this is the Japanese yen. Japanese yen up today, doing decently well against most other currencies and more of the commodity-centric currencies. Take a look at the Australian dollar against the US dollar. That is down 4.5% on the day. The New Zealand dollar down 3.3%. Commodity currencies exposed to Chinese trade especially are hitting or are getting very hit today. So it's interesting. This market is telling you that it is fearful of a recession. Perhaps it's fearing the worst and perhaps that is overdone. And that's the question we kind of have to think about as traders and investors is, you know, what's next? Is this really the end of days or is there some opportunity here? And like I said, I would just urge people to consider caution. This elevated VIX, this high volatility can be very dangerous. And also at the same time, yes, there are some opportunities oftentimes that are presented during these times, but I would just urge caution.
And the last time we saw oil this low was way back 4 years ago, when we still hadn't gotten over the aforementioned coronavirus pandemic. March 29th, 2021, it was around about 61.5. And as we speak, it's just below 61 WTI. So that's a very good indicator of the concerns out there. But Nick, what about the week to come? Obviously, this is going to dominate for some time. But should we look out for anything specific next week?
Well, I think a lot of people are in some ways looking towards the weekend, but I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I would actually be surprised if there was not more major headlines that occurred over the weekend. Perhaps part of the harsh selling that is occurring in the market right now is people not wanting to take positions with them into the weekend. Understandable. The weather's getting nice. You know, people want to get out of the way and go outside and maybe take a break from all this chaos. Like, who can blame them? But next week, in terms of economic data, we have the meeting minutes on Wednesday that could be market moving. We hear from the Bank of Japan on Tuesday and the RBNZ next week on Tuesday as well. And then on Thursday, we have CPI, right? Inflation concerns are still very elevated, so we'll get CPI data. And then on Friday, we get, of course, the core and headline PPI as well, with consumer sentiment to end us out. Like I said, most likely a big key event is literally just keeping an eye on stuff this weekend if you are a market junkie like myself, because again, we will probably hear back and forth as there are a lot of countries that are impacted by these tariffs. And I'm sure that the Trump administration will not be away from the office this weekend.
Absolutely not. Well, try and enjoy your weekend, Nick, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.